Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, May 11th, 2024. Industry regulators talk environmental concerns. Environmental issues challenge the Permian Basin energy industry from the subsurface to the air. So once a year, Midland College's Petroleum Professional Development Center and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association team up to offer a seminar that brings together industry and regulators to discuss the hurdles and opportunities in addressing an expanding list of environmental concerns. Forever chemicals. A new topic at the annual seminar was per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAs. This diverse group of chemicals have been found everywhere and have no known natural degradation, leading to them being known as, quote, forever chemicals, end quote. Much is uncertain about these chemicals, said Kaylin McDermott, a Midland native who now works for Geosyntec Consultants in Pittsburgh. There's even a discrepancy over just how many PFAs there are, she said, with the European Union offering one definition that incorporates 10,000 substances and the U.S. one that incorporates about 1,000 substances. PFAs affect all three energy sectors. In the upstream, they are found in hydraulic fracturing fluids. In midstream pipelines and processing facilities, they can be found in fire suppression and prevention chemicals, pipes, gaskets, valves, and lubricants, among other items. Downstream, they are found in storage and transportation facilities, plastics, refrigerants, imported containers, and as a result of cross-contamination. McDermott detailed new and pending regulations as concern grows over PFAs' links to immune disruptions, cardiovascular diseases, development delays, and as possible carcinogens. The Environmental Protection Agency has issued a PFAS strategic roadmap that includes establishing maximum contamination levels for drinking water. The Toxic Substance Control Act requires reporting on the manufacturing or importation of articles made or imported from January 1, 2011 through December 31, 2022. The reports are to begin November 12th of this year and are due by May 8, 2025. The Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act will require notice about the storage. Release or disposal of PFAs. It also incorporates the Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act and involves the Department of Transportation under the Hazardous Materials Act. She advised performing a comprehensive materials and products survey, including asking their suppliers about their manufacturing processes to help identify potential PFAs sources. She also urged copious documentation of that due diligence and how employees handle and transport articles. Methane regulations. The Environmental Protection Agency this week finalized new emission rules known to the industry as, quote, Quad OB, end quote, and, quote, Quad OC, end quote. While Quad O rules have dealt with greenhouse gas emissions by setting new source performance standards, Quad OB addresses oil and gas facilities that began construction, were reconstructed, or otherwise modified after December 6, 2022. Quad OC sets guidelines for states to follow in developing their own implementation plans to regulate existing sources, those constructed before December 6, 2022, and have not been modified. Tamer Sheikh, Senior Policy Advisor on Energy in the EPA's Region 6, which includes Texas, stressed to attendees that the new rules provide flexibility and time to meet those requirements. They have flexibility in using a range of advanced monitoring technology to identify leaks and implement leak detection and repair, LDAR, plans. The new rules seek to move the industry away from gas-driven and pneumatic equipment that are leak sources, as well as phase out routine flaring. It creates a super emitter program that leverages third-party expertise to find large leaks and releases, which he said are responsible for as much as half of methane emissions from oil and gas operations. Under the Methane Emissions Reduction Program, included in the Inflation Reduction Act, About $1 billion has been allocated in technical and financial assistance to companies to reduce their emissions. Sheikh said the EPA estimates the new rules could realize as much as $100 billion in benefits and cost savings from a reduction in methane, volatile organic compound, and toxic chemical emissions. He said the waste emissions charge, also known as the methane fee, is still being finalized. This fee, which took effect this year, expects to charge $900 per metric ton of methane emissions over 25,000 metric tons, rising to $1,200 in 2025 and $1,500 in 2026 and thereafter. Seismicity in water. Although low-magnitude earthquakes have shaken the Loving Winkler County border and Martin County in recent weeks, researchers are finding they have actually declined since they first began occurring in 2015. Cody Comiskey, Earth Science Advisor at Chevron, told his audience earthquakes in the region declined in 2023 for the first time since 2015. In the Delaware Basin alone, he said, incidents were down 18% last year. With over 200 monitoring stations in place, he said researchers are now getting good data about seismic events, how deep they occurred, where and when they occurred. Instances have been linked both to deep water disposal in the Delaware Basin and shallow water disposal in the Midland Basin. He likened disposal to a bathtub filling up. Quote, there's no such thing as an infinite reservoir, end quote, he said. As the Permian Basin continues to produce more crude and natural gas and the water that comes along, he said seismicity will be with the Permian Basin for some time. The good news is industry, researchers, and regulators are all working together to address the problem. Quote, the industry is more engaged now, he said. Quote, majors, small companies, and those in between are looking at what data is needed to understand the causes of seismicity, end quote. Beneficial reuse. Using produced water outside of oil industry applications will be extremely important in reducing the volumes of water disposed underground, Comiskey said. He called on regulators to help provide the legislative framework needed to guide both the industry and regulators along the beneficial reuse path. Quote, we can get costs down as we scale up. Numerous companies are working on beneficial reuse, end quote, he said. Correction. Due to incorrect information provided by the Texas Department of Public Safety, the May 10th story about the Cessna stalling named the incorrect airport. The airport near where the plane landed was SkyWest Airport. A Mother's Day gift. On Mother's Day, Angie's Babies, an initiative that focuses on raising awareness for Alzheimer's, will give baby dolls to patients in nursing homes with Alzheimer's or dementia. Angie's Babies partners with The Longest Day, a fundraising event for the Alzheimer's Association, to buy dolls for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. The West Texas chapter of the Alzheimer's Association covers around 80 counties in the area. The association raises awareness and offers support and resources to patients with Alzheimer's and dementia, and to their caregivers and families. In the past, Angie's Babies has gifted around 6,500 dolls to patients in Midland and Odessa. This year, they plan to expand the initiative to Big Spring, Andrews, Crane, McCamey, and other towns in West Texas. Angie's Babies. Julie Gray and Mary Wright McCord were inspired to start this initiative when Angie, Gray's grandmother, and Jerry Wright, Wright McCourt's father, were in the same nursing facility. Quote, my grandmother had baby dolls, end quote, Gray said. Quote, it didn't matter if it was a good day or a bad day, she had that baby doll. She had some piece of love and comfort with her at all times, end quote. Alzheimer's took Angie's memories of her family away, Gray said. Her grandma also struggled with communicating, but they noticed that she, quote, lit up, end quote, whenever she held onto her doll. Quote, Alzheimer's takes away a lot of things, end quote, Gray said. Quote, but that feeling of a mother's love, an aunt, a sister's love never goes away. It's so deeply ingrained in our nature, end quote. Although Angie have been nonverbal for several years, she still tried her best to communicate with her family, Gray said. One day, they visited Angie, and she was singing patty cake to her baby doll and doing all the hand movements along with the song. Wright, McCourt, and Gray helped each other throughout the years and understood what they were going through. When one couldn't make it to the nursing home, the other would make sure to check in on their loved ones. And vice versa. Quote, in 2018, we were kind of lost, end quote, Wright McCourt said about when their family members passed away. Quote, that's kind of how Angie's babies was born, end quote, Gray added. Quote, just out of our grief when they both passed away, we needed to turn that grief into something productive, end quote. During their visits to the nursing home, Wright McCourt and Gray realized that a lot of patients were alone, with no families coming to visit them. Quote, some families can't take the heartbreak of walking into a facility and realizing that they don't remember who they are, end quote, Wright McCourt said. Quote, they choose not to come back, end quote. Gray remembered how she felt knowing that her grandma had a doll that she could love. Wright McCourt and Gray both wanted to give other patients a similar feeling through a doll that they could hold on to and love. They decided to center this event around Mother's Day because two-thirds of people with Alzheimer's are women, Gray said. They chose the dolls because of their size and the different skin tones they have so that they could be inclusive to everyone. Angie's babies primarily give baby dolls away on Mother's Day, but they continue to give dolls out to patients, including men, who request them throughout the year. They also partner with some home health agencies so that patients who live at home also receive a doll to love. Wright, McCourt, and Gray will continue to accept donations so that they're able to gift dolls to patients with Alzheimer's or dementia. A $20 donation both buys a doll and gives a little bit to the Alzheimer's Association for research and support, said Gray. Quote, we love to give back to our community, end quote, Wright, McCourt said. Quote, we especially love our community that is dealing with Alzheimer's because we've walked the journey, end quote. Celebrating Mother's Day after a stroke. Midland's Nicole Paredes celebrates Mother's Day 6 years after surviving a stroke during her pregnancy due to preeclampsia. In 2017, Paredes and her family were celebrating Father's Day at her sister's house when she started feeling sharp chest pains. Paredes was 7 months pregnant at the time, and up until that day, she did not have any complications. Paredes went to the ER where they ran every test that they could. The next morning, Paredes woke up and told her husband that her head still hurts. Quote, he said that my speech was slurring while talking to him, end quote, Paredes said. Paredes was suffering from a stroke due to preeclampsia. Because they couldn't perform any surgery on her while she was pregnant, Paredes had to deliver her daughter prematurely. She was rushed to Odessa for an emergency C-section. After her baby was delivered, Paredes's husband faced hard decisions about the next step for Paredes. Quote, the doctors told my husband that I wouldn't make it through brain surgery, end quote, Paredes said. Quote, I could go through the surgery and risk dying on the table, or they could give me medicine to alleviate my pain and die peacefully in a room, end quote. Her husband told the doctors to perform the surgery. He told them to give her a chance to get through it, Paredes added. Paredes was in a medically induced coma after her surgery for a couple of weeks while the swelling in her brain reduced. She was given commands to follow. She woke up, such as squeezing something or following the doctor's finger with her eyes. When she couldn't follow them, her family was told that she would be the same way the rest of her life. Paredes' recovery. Although her surgery was done, Paredes' fight was far from over. She was paralyzed on the right side of the body, she struggled with speech, and she was in a wheelchair. She transferred to a rehabilitation center in Austin where she started learning how to do everything again. But after 2 months, her insurance would no longer cover her stay there. In Austin, Paredes got to see and hold her daughter, who had just been released from the NICU for the first time. Paredes felt like she hadn't made the progress that she needed to before going home. Quote, I wasn't ready, end quote, Paredes said. Quote, I had to take care of my children. It was not the time for them to start taking care of me, end quote. Her case manager, Brittany House, told Paredes about the Center for Neuroskills, CNS, a rehabilitation facility for survivors of traumatic brain injuries, facility in Irving, where Paredes could continue to make progress. At CNS, patients are surrounded by physical therapists and neuro-rehab specialists, all working toward helping the survivors rehabilitate toward their full potential. The facility felt like an apartment to Paredes because she remembers relearning essential life skills, such as doing laundry and cooking food. She wasn't only focusing on her speech and her walk, she was also focusing on daily life tasks. Quote, she's a sweet person and she's very determined, end quote, said Vanessa Carmouche, her physical therapist, while she was at CNS. Quote, if you give her something to do, she will do it at 100%, end quote. Paredes was determined to go home to her family. Quote, I told my manager that I wanted to be there at CNS as long as I could learn and get everything I could from them, end quote, Breda said. Quote, but at the same time, my oldest son's birthday was in October, so I told her I wanted to be home by his birthday, end quote. She was determined to make progress for her family, who had been very supportive. Paredes was also challenged to start completing tasks with her left arm, which frustrated her because she had been right-handed prior to her stroke. By the time she went home at the end of October, she was walking with a cane and with an ankle-foot orthosis. Quote, therapy doesn't stop at the clinic, end quote, House said. Quote, our goal is to help survivors be as independent as possible. If anybody is going through this situation, allow survivors to do things themselves because it builds their independence and confidence, end quote. Today, Paredes continues to do some of the range of motion exercises she learned from her therapists. She homeschools her daughter, 6, and her sons, 15 and 16. Quote, I use my determination to do things by myself, end quote, Paredes said. Quote, I like trying to do everything myself before asking for help because sometimes my family won't be home to help me, end quote. Paredes says she found strength within her family and her Christian faith throughout her recovery. Quote, I feel very blessed, end quote, Paredes said. Quote, even though there's things that I still struggle with memory-wise, physically and emotionally, I still feel blessed to be here on this earth with my kids and my husband, my family, end quote. Oil prices gain, but stay below $80. Continued concerns that U.S. interest rates will remain higher for longer, hampering consumer demand, again kept crude prices below $80 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, including a 61-cent rise Wednesday. WTI retreated $1 Friday to end the week at $70.26. Still up 0.2% from $78.11 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $74.74, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures rose 3 of 5 trading days on the NYMEX, opening the trading week with a 5.3 cent rise and jumping 11.4 cents Thursday. Prices fell 5 cents Friday to close the week at $2.252 per MCF, up from $2.142 at last Friday's close. East Daily Analytics reported this week that its U.S. interstate gas sample fell 1.2 billion cubic feet, or 2% week over week, for the week ending May 5th, led by the Haynesville and Marcellus Utica. At the same time, the Permian sample rose 1.5%. Overall, the company said pipeline samples have fallen 2.9 BCF in the last 4 weeks. The company said natural gas price gains are a combination of strong power demand, the return of Freeport LNG to service, and finally, lower production levels. Jack Weeksel, senior director at East Daily, told the Reporter-Telegram the natural gas production cuts operators implemented amid low prices are beginning to have an impact. Quote, a lot of the gains this week were based on sub-98 BCF/D production levels for total lower 48 production, end quote, he told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, there's also general apprehension that we're going to see these production levels through August and be short storage injections throughout much of the summer. Power demand not going away and Plaque Mines commissioning are the bullish factors on the demand side, end quote. Production hovering around 98 BCF per day is about 8 BCF per day lower than in December, he noted. Quote, I think the market is starting to get a little spooked, end quote. When power burns get higher in June and July, we'll see more of this upward price pressure as long as production remains low, end quote, he wrote. Celebrating Mother's Day after a stroke. Midland's Nicole Paredes celebrates Mother's Day 6 years after surviving a stroke during her pregnancy due to preeclampsia. In 2017, Paredes and her family were celebrating Father's Day at her sister's house when she started feeling sharp chest pains. Paredes was 7 months pregnant at the time, and up until that day, she did not have any complications. Paredes went to the ER, where they ran every test that they could. The next morning, Paredes woke up and told her husband that her head still hurts. Quote, he said that my speech was slurring while talking to him, end quote, Paredes said. Paredes was suffering from a stroke due to preeclampsia. Because they couldn't perform any surgery on her while she was pregnant, Paredes had to deliver her daughter prematurely. She was rushed to Odessa for an emergency C-section. After her baby was delivered, Paredes's husband faced hard decisions about the next step for Paredes. Quote, "The doctors told my husband that I wouldn't make it through brain surgery," end quote, Paredes said. Quote, "I could go through the surgery and risk dying on the table, or they could give me medicine to alleviate my pain and die peacefully in a room," end quote. Her husband told the doctors to perform the surgery. He told them to give her a chance to get through it, Paredes added. Paredes was in a medically induced coma after her surgery for a couple of weeks while the swelling in her brain reduced. She was given commands to follow. She woke up, such as squeezing something or following the doctor's finger with her eyes. When she couldn't follow them, her family was told that she would be the same way the rest of her life. Paredes's recovery. Although her surgery was done, Paredes's fight was far from over. She was paralyzed on the right side of the body, she struggled with speech, and she was in a wheelchair. She transferred to a rehabilitation center in Austin, where she started learning how to do everything again. But after 2 months, her insurance would no longer cover her stay there. In Austin, Paredes got to see and hold her daughter, who had just been released from the NICU for the first time. Paredes felt like she hadn't made the progress that she needed to before going home. Quote, "I wasn't ready," end quote, Paredes said. Quote, "I had to take care of my children. It was not the time for them to start taking care of me," end quote. Her case manager, Brittany House, told Paredes about the Center for Neuroskills, CNS, a rehabilitation facility for survivors of traumatic brain injuries, facility in Irving, where Paredes could continue to make progress. At CNS, patients are surrounded by physical therapists and neuro-rehab specialists, all working toward helping the survivors rehabilitate toward their full potential. The facility felt like an apartment to Paredes because she remembers relearning essential life skills, such as doing laundry and cooking food. She wasn't only focusing on her speech and her walk, she was also focusing on daily life tasks. Quote, "She's a sweet person and she's very determined," end quote, said Vanessa Carmouche, her physical therapist, while she was at CNS. Quote, "If you give her something to do, she will do it at 100%, end quote. Paredes was determined to go home to her family. Quote, "I told my manager that I wanted to be there at CNS as long as I could learn and get everything I could from them," end quote, Paredes said. Quote, "But at the same time, my oldest son's birthday was in October, so I told her I wanted to be home by his birthday," end quote. She was determined to make progress for her family, who had been very supportive. Paredes was also challenged to start completing tasks with her left arm, which frustrated her because she had been right-handed prior to her stroke. By the time she went home at the end of October, she was walking with a cane and with an ankle-foot orthosis. Quote, "Therapy doesn't stop at the clinic," end quote, House said. Quote, "Our goal is to help survivors be as independent as possible. If anybody is going through this situation, allow survivors to do things themselves because it builds their independence and confidence," end quote. Today, Paredes continues to do some of the range of motion exercises she learned from her therapists. She homeschools her daughter, 6, and her sons, 15 and 16. Quote, "I use my determination to do things by myself," end quote, Paredes said. Quote, "I like trying to do everything myself before asking for help because sometimes my family won't be home to help me," end quote. Paredes says she found strength within her family and her Christian faith throughout her recovery. Quote, "I feel very blessed," end quote, Paredes said. Quote, "Even though there's things that I still struggle with memory-wise, physically and emotionally, I still feel blessed to be here on this earth with my kids and my husband, my family," end quote. Midland ranks 7th for Texas metros for new college graduates. Midland ranked as the 7th best Texas metro area for new college graduates to live, based on the job market, cost of living, and social factors, in a study by Smart Asset. Quote, Smart Asset set out to determine the best overall places for new college graduates, ranking 370 metro areas based on metrics for the job market, costs, and social aspects, end quote, the study states. The financial information website reported that Midland has a 0.4% unemployment rate among new college graduates. College graduates in Midland make a median income of $64,918, according to the study. The report states that 14.3% of Midland's population is aged 20 to 29. The report ranks College Station Bryan, San Angelo, Lubbock, Amarillo, Austin, and Waco higher than Midland based on job market, cost of living, and social factors that the report is based on. Out of those seven cities, only college graduates in Austin make a higher median income than those in Midland, $75,051 compared to $64,918. Odessa is ranked 364th nationally in the category. The report states Odessa has an unemployment rate of 6.0% among new college graduates. College graduates make a median income of $49,984, and 15.8% of its population is age 20 to 29. Midland ranks 104th nationally in the same category. Oshkosh, Neenah, Wisconsin, and Lawrence, Kansas are the top two cities for new college graduates nationally, according to the study. College Station Bryan is ranked third nationally. The report states that College Station has a 0.7% unemployment rate among new college graduates. They make a median income of $58,476, and 24.8% of its population is age 20 to 29. U.S. rig count falls for third consecutive week. Drilling activity fell across the board, U.S., Texas, and the Permian Basin, as operators continue to focus on returning funds to shareholders and improving efficiencies to produce more oil and natural gas. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 fell two rigs to 603. The third consecutive weekly decline and the lowest level since January 2022. The count is 128 rigs, or 18% below the 731 rigs active last May. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil fell three rigs to 496, the lowest level since November, and 90 fewer active rigs than the 586 drilling for oil last year. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose by one to 103, down 38 rigs from 141 a year ago. Texas saw its rig count fall by three to 289, the lowest level since February 2022, and down 77 rigs from 366 rigs active across the state last year. New Mexico added a rig for 109 rigs. Oklahoma, too, joined Texas as a producing state seeing a decline, while Louisiana, 1, and Utah, 1, joined New Mexico in seeing a gain. The Permian Basin lost two rigs for 314 rigs drilling in the region, down 39 rigs from 353 the previous May. Eddy County, New Mexico remains the most active county in the Permian Basin, reporting 56 rigs for a fourth consecutive week. Lee County, New Mexico remains in second with 50 rigs, up one. Martin County posted the sharpest decline among Permian Basin counties, falling three rigs to 35 for the week. Reeves County had 24 rigs, down one. Loving County reported 22 rigs a second week. Midland County lost one rig for 21 at work within county lines. Reagan County had 17 rigs, up one for the week. Upton County was down one rig for 14. Culberson County continues to report 11 rigs at work, and Ward County had 10 rigs for a second consecutive week. Energy Dedicated Software as a Service firm, Enverus, said its U.S. rig count for the week ending May 3rd was up three rigs to 639. 154 rigs, or 19% below the 793 Enverus reported last year. ConocoPhillips continued to top the top 10 operators by rig count with 30 rigs, up one for the week. EOG Resources had 28, down one, and Occidental Petroleum had 27, up one for the week. Enverus Permian Basin rig count rose four rigs to 315 for the week, but is 53 rigs, or 14% below the 368 reported last year. Enverus' most active play, the Delaware Basin, dropped one rig for 171 rigs, 30 rigs for or 15% below the 201 counted last year. The Midland Basin added a rig for 122 rigs, still down 22 rigs or 15% from 144 last year. Enverus said in its trailing 30-day drilling permits, the Permian had 667 for the week, ended April 19th, up from 617 the previous week, and just below 675 a year previously. During that same time frame, the Permian had 116 frac crews, down from 126 the previous week, and 174 a year earlier. Life Tributes. Marion Earl Cossey Jr., 12-7-1933 to 5-9-2024. Marion Earl Cossey Jr. passed away on May 9, 2024 in Midland, Texas at the age of 90. He was born on December 7, 1933 in Centerville, Mississippi to Marion Cossey Sr. and Ora Lee Cossey. He is survived by his loving wife of nearly 65 years, Patsy Ann Cossey, his two sons, Mark Deanne Cossey of Rowlett, Texas, and Gary Ginger Cossey of Midland, Texas. His four grandchildren, Dr. Jordan Michael Seaback of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Jared Cossey of Royce City, Texas, Alex Hannah Cossey of Austin, Texas, and Travis Cossey of Midland, Texas, and his brother Wilton Rebecca Cossey of Huntsville, Alabama, and numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Marion Cossey Sr. and Ora Lee Cossey. The family will receive friends for a visitation at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home on Tuesday, May 21st, 2024, from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6:30 p.m., with a celebration to start at 6:30 p.m. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Matthew Truman Miller, 5-2-1991 to 5-7-2024. Matthew Truman Miller, 33, of Washington, D.C., passed away on May 7, 2024, in Houston, Texas, while undergoing treatment at MD Anderson. He was born on May 2, 1991, in Midland, Texas. He is survived by his loving wife, Gina, his parents, Ray and Amy Miller, Charlene and Ronnie Black, his sister Amber Schneeman and husband Tucker of Midland, sister Sarah Kendall and husband Doyle of Houston, sister Madison Miller of Midland, sister Reagan Miller of Dallas, sister Kennedy Miller of Big Spring, sister McKinley Miller of Midland, nephew Cannon Schneeman, nieces Caroline Schneeman, Beatrice Nicastro, and Charlotte Kendall, father and mother-in-law Anthony and Nicole Nicastro, grandparents Bob and Judy Miller of Hickson, Tennessee, Shirley Goodyear of Lenoir City, Tennessee, Yvonne Black of Midland, Nancy Winton of Midland, and countless others he loved so much. He was preceded in death by grandmother Diane Lacion and grandfather Robert Goodyear. In Midland, family will be welcoming friends and family for a visitation at the Willows on Midland on Monday, May 13th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Details on services in Virginia to follow. Mary Sue Thompson Mathis. Mary Sue Thompson Mathis was preceded in death by her husband William Bill Jacob Mathis, son Charles Kelly Mathis, and her parents Lenny Mary Lee Thompson and Samuel Sam Charles Thompson. She is survived by daughter Mary Lee Mathis Patchell Donald, three granddaughters, Mary Elizabeth Patchell, Sarah Jean Ramsbottom Matthew, and Michelle Linnea Buttress Otis, and two great-grandchildren. Mary Sue was born on her grandfather's homestead in Claret, Texas. Mary Sue will be interred at the Claret, Texas Cemetery beside her husband, son, and parents. Rodney D. Stallings, 5-20-1964 to 4-16-2024. Our baby brother passed away April 16, 2024. Rodney was born on May 20, 1964 in Hobbs, New Mexico. The family moved back to Midland, where he then lived most of his life. Rodney was more proud of his sons, Dwayne Stallings and Derek Leach, who survive him. He is also survived by his sisters, Kathy Stallings Lee, Rick, and Donna Stallings Stroon, Jerry, brother John Bork, Rhonda. We will have a private memorial service, but would like to thank his many friends for their prayers and condolences. Dan Mendel III, 8-24-1937 to 3-28-2024. Houston. Dan Mendel III, 86, of Houston, Texas, passed away on March 28, 2024, with his devoted son, Scott, at his side. He was born on August 24, 1937, in Houston, Texas, and grew up in Wichita Falls, Texas. Dan is survived by his sons, Scott Mendel and Michael Mendel. He was the beloved husband of Betty Beale Mendel for 30 years until her passing in 1991. Robert Brooks Stewart. Robert Brooks Stewart of Midland died May 9, 2024, in Midland, Texas. Viewing will be held on Tuesday, May 14, 2024, from 6 to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory. Funeral will be held on Wednesday, May 15, 2024, at 2 p.m. at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701, immediately followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Midland ranks 7th for Texas metros for new college graduates. Midland ranked as the 7th best Texas metro area for new college graduates to live, based on the job market, cost of living, and social factors, in a study by Smart Asset. Quote, Smart Asset set out to determine the best overall places for new college graduates, ranking 370 metro areas based on metrics for the job market, costs, and social aspects, end quote, the study states. The financial information website reported that Midland has a 0.4% unemployment rate among new college graduates. College graduates in Midland make a median income of $64,918, according to the study. The report states that 14.3% of Midland's population is aged 20 to 29. The report ranks College Station Bryan, San Angelo, Lubbock, Amarillo, Austin, and Waco higher than Midland based on job market, cost of living, and social factors that the report is based on. Out of those seven cities, only college graduates in Austin make a higher median income than those in Midland, $75,051 compared to $64,918. Odessa is ranked 364th nationally in the category. The report states Odessa has an unemployment rate of 6.0% among new college graduates. College graduates make a median income of $49,984, and 15.8% of its population is aged 20 to 29. Midland ranks 104th nationally in the same category. Oshkosh, Neenah, Wisconsin, and Lawrence, Kansas are the top two cities for new college graduates nationally, according to the study. College Station Bryan is ranked third nationally. The report states that College Station has a 0.7% unemployment rate among new college graduates. They make a median income of $58,476, and 24.8% of its population is aged 20 to 29. Inveris, West Texas electric load demand to double. Study, electric prices will soar without build-out of new transmission structure. Even as Permian Basin oil and gas producers generate more oil and natural gas to provide energy globally, they are demanding more and more electricity to power that production. A new study from Enverus Intelligence Research, a subsidiary of the energy-dedicated software as a service firm Enverus, quantifies the potential electrification of the region's oil and gas assets, its impact on grid demand, transmission flows, and the generation required to serve the growing demand. Riley Prescott, senior associate at EIR, told the Reporter Telegram the study forecasts far west Texas demand will more than double by 2040, due not only to electrification trends in the oil and gas industry, but to the growth of cryptocurrency mining. East Texas has traditionally had high load levels within the Electric Reliability Council of Texas grid, given the major metropolitan cities located in that region, he said. West Texas has traditionally had low-cost renewable energy generation that wanted to move east. What has been appealing about far west Texas is the presence of low-cost renewable energy, wind and solar, he said. Quote, now, with load growth, that power will stay home, end quote, he said. That load growth will support significantly more renewable development without curtailments, he continued. Without significant power generation build-out, he cautioned that the far west zone will see power prices rise significantly. Said Prescott, quote, we see far west Texas as a haven for wind and solar, end quote. The study placed a special focus on compression stationary sites, he said. He explained that natural gas combustion, specifically compression, is the most practical source of emissions to electrify by connecting to the grid, as those emissions come from stationary sites with long expected lives. Oil Report. Researchers. Earthquakes migrating. Bureau of Economic Geology has found quake activity in the Midland Basin is moving northeast. Seismic activity in the Permian Basin has been on the rise in recent years, prompting regulatory action and academic research to address the issue. The Railroad Commission has established three seismic response areas, SRAs, North Culberson Reeves, Stanton and Gardendale, Midland, Odessa, limiting water injection volumes and pressures, and suspending deep well permits, and crafting response plans with operators. Utilizing data collected by TexNet, the statewide seismic monitoring network operated by the Bureau of Economic Geology, researchers have found seismic activity is migrating northeast, according to Alexandros Savaitis, principal investigator at TexNet. That is important because it indicates what he called the action zone is becoming bigger, he explained. The elongation of that zone and what it covers in the subsurface has the potential to create higher magnitude earthquakes, he added. Quote, that doesn't mean it will happen today or tomorrow, end quote, he said. Savaitis said seismicity in the Delaware and Midland basins is different. In the Delaware, he said researchers can see clusters coming. In the Midland Basin, quote, there are events coming out of nowhere. Nothing happens and then suddenly there's a big event, end quote. Although most past quakes happened in the southwest region near Odessa and Midland, BEG researchers identified a seismicity trend moving along a newly identified and extensive seismogenic fault zone stretching toward the northeast edge of the basin. Quote, the fault zone has been activated, and it has the capability to trigger additional earthquakes that can be felt by humans, especially because it's so close to major cities along Interstate 20, end quote, said Dino Huang, a research assistant professor at the Jackson School of Geosciences, who led the research, in the report published in the journal Seismological Research Letters. From January 2017 to November 2023, TexNet recorded 1,305 earthquakes in the area, with the vast majority being very small and causing no damage. Its seismometers record the ground motion caused by seismic activity, and researchers used that data to determine the depth, location, and orientation of geologic faults. This analysis allowed the researchers to piece together previously unmapped parts of the Midland Basin fault system. Major features include what looks like a rift structure stretching across the middle of the basin in the deep basement rock that is slowly widening over time. This rift structure is surrounded on either side with a complex network of smaller faults. Within this fault system, the researchers identified 15 distinct earthquake-producing zones. The researchers then combined the data on earthquake frequency and magnitude from all the zones to determine the future seismic potential of the entire Midland Basin. Using statistical analysis of TexNet data, the researchers determined that the basin seismicity has elevated since 2018. Although this potential indicates that the basin has a higher likelihood of future earthquakes compared with earthquake risk before 2018, it does not provide insight into future earthquake frequency, magnitude, or when they might strike. However, based on recent seismic activity, the researchers have an idea of which zones will be more prone to earthquakes in the future. The team hypothesizes that a 5.2 magnitude quake that struck Range Hill in 2022, which is in Zone 6 and northwest of the city of Midland, introduced the additional stress into the fault system that has propagated northeastward along the same path as the rift structure revealed by their passive seismic analysis. The scientists expect more quakes to happen in Zones 6 through 8. Northwest of the cities of Big Spring and Stanton as the stress travels through the fault system. The researchers point to two recent earthquakes in Zone 8, a 3.7 magnitude and a 3.8 magnitude, that occurred in March and November of 2023 as evidence for their hypothesis. Said Savaitis, quote, one of the main things we can do is improve our network in those areas to better understand the fault systems. We need access to property to place our monitoring stations. If we do that, we can better understand the seismicity, end quote. S&P Global celebrates first year of WTI Midland, joining Dated Brent. A year ago, Platts, part of S&P Global Commodity Insights, incorporated West Texas Intermediate Midland into its Dated Brent basket of deliverable grades of crude oil. Quote, "We're happy with the way it's going, especially for the industry," end quote, said Joel Hanley, Global Director, Crude and Fuel Oil Markets with S&P Global, as he assessed the first year of the inclusion. He estimated there were 140 public trades of WTI Midland at 700,000 barrels a clip. WTI Midland was the first non-North Sea oil grade added into the Brent complex, and Hanley described it as the most competitive of the six grades most of the time. Of 220 oil cargoes currently being publicly traded, he said 140 are WTI Midland, quote, "so it's doing the heavy lifting, more than the other five grades," end quote. By adding WTI Midland, the pool of oil more than doubled, said Richard Swan, Global Director, Clean Refined Products, Markets Reporting at S&P Global. Quote, "this was an addition on a different scale. It was a very big addition of liquids," end quote, Swan said. "It was a massive change, but went smoothly," he added. Both Swan and Hanley agree the addition of WTI Midland has brought transparency to and confidence in the trading process. They also cited the diversity of companies involved in buying WTI Midland cargoes. The update to the Brent complex has seen new and returning market participants in the Platts market on close, broadening the pool of companies transparently trading in the market and participating in the price assessment process and proving values. The North Sea physical MOC has seen positions from companies such as Japan's Mitsui, Azerbaijan's SOCAR, Saudi Arabia's Aramco, and U.S. companies Phillips 66 and Occidental, as well as India's Reliance. Said Hanley, quote, "we have proven there is a grade outside the North Sea that can come in and fill gaps should there be a supply disruption. That's a really important change. We can provide volumes of good old USA crude," end quote. Platts has reviewed and approved 12 U.S. Gulf Coast terminals from which WTI Midland can be loaded for inclusion in the Brent market price assessment process. The 12 are located in Corpus Christi and Houston. Future Technologies to open Midland office. Future Technologies Venture has been helping Permian Basin energy companies with communications needs for about 6 years. Now the Atlanta-based company has decided to open a Midland office at 8409 West Interstate 20. Future Technologies has also named Alex Barber as the branch manager of the new Southwest office. Pete Capiallo, chief executive officer, touted Barber's experience not only as a U.S. Army veteran, but for working his way up from an entry-level position with the company 12 years ago. Quote, "a lot of our crews have four people. He worked his way to the number one person, then to managing multiple crews to construction manager. He's now branch manager," end quote, Capiallo said. He said the Midland office, expected to open in June, will initially have 10 positions, growing to 20 to 30 over the next 6 months. Quote, "we want to hire locally and train," end quote, Capiallo said. Quote, "we have a substantial training center in Atlanta and then have them return to work locally," end quote. Like Barber, he said the local staff could work their way up the career ladder. Quote, "hopefully we'll find some Alexes out there," end quote, he said. Barber will be tasked with overseeing a roster of communication technicians, fiber technicians, as well as Tiger teams, break/fix. The Midland branch will offer a host of services including ground civil construction, tower civil construction, turnkey microwave and fixed broadband installation, and tower and ground audits. According to Capiallo, Future Technology builds communications networks for industry and the military. For the energy industry, it designs networks and provides, installs, and maintains equipment for oil production sites, both wireless and wired. These networks help connect field workers in case of emergencies or if they need to communicate with their offices. They also facilitate automation in what he called the digital oil field. The company is also looking to serve carbon capture. He explained the company builds private 5G networks located behind clients' firewalls, and that include multi-factor authentication and encryption. The networks connect thousands of endpoints from wired connections to communication towers to wireless connections between towers that extend to production sites. Said Dave Rumor, Chief Revenue Officer, quote, we see major drilling sites as not just drilling sites. They've become communication hubs. With the vast distances in the Permian, you can't have people driving from site to site, end quote. Agreed Capiello, future technologies networks help workers not only be safe but more efficient. WellWorks sells to Liberty Lift Solutions. Midland-based WellWorks is being acquired by Liberty Lift Solutions of Houston. Formed in 2019 by Matt Raglin, WellWorks Energy's entire offering of downhole tools and automation solutions will be added to the Liberty Lift portfolio. Liberty Lift Solutions is a full-service artificial lift company known worldwide for premium products, service, and customer care. Initially formed in 2012 as a beam pumping unit manufacturing company, Liberty Lift has expanded its product line into most stages of the artificial lift life cycle with locations in many major producing regions in the United States. Quote, our mission is to provide impactful production solutions to our customers, and adding WellWorks Energy's expertise and products to our arsenal is a strategic step toward that goal, end quote, said Bobby Evans, Liberty Lift Solutions CEO. Quote, WellWorks has been an integral partner of Liberty Lift for many years now, and we have both seen tremendous success when working in unison. WellWorks brings a wealth of knowledge in the reciprocating rod lift space that meshes well with Liberty's product lines. WellWorks has built a reputation of excellent service, cutting-edge technology, and meaningful solutions for well optimization, end quote. Matt Raglin, WellWorks Energy President, said in a statement, quote, from the moment we entered into a distribution agreement with Liberty Lift, it was clear their values mirrored ours in integrity and the desire to offer our customers a full solution for the total life of their wells. Joining their ranks was a no-brainer, and we're delighted to be part of the Liberty Lift team, end quote. Liberty Lift plans to utilize WellWorks Energy to further augment their industry presence, particularly in the Permian Basin. The Liberty Lift product lines now include beam pumping units, XL long stroke units, gas lift, hydraulic jet pumps, plunger lift, sucker rods, downhole rod pumps, PC pumps, downhole gas and solids mitigation and automation. In addition to its Houston headquarters, Liberty Lift maintains offices in 26 locations across the United States, Canada, Bahrain, and China. Novo Oil 2 seeks Permian Basin assets. A new upstream energy company has announced its launch, focusing on the Permian Basin. Novo Oil and Gas has launched Novo Oil and Gas Holdings 2, with an equity capital commitment from NGAP Investments. Novo 2 will focus on acquiring proven, liquids-rich, unconventional assets in the Permian Basin, with a particular focus on the Delaware Basin. Both operated and non-operated mineral positions will be considered. Novo II's management team includes Chief Executive Officer John Zimmerman, President and Chief Commercial Officer Brandon Patrick, Chief Financial Officer David Avery, and Chief Operating Officer Kurt Shipley. The Novo II team has worked together for years as all in-house Novo II employees previously held roles at Novo I. The original Novo was formed in August 2016 and developed assets in the northern Delaware Basin of southeast New Mexico. It was acquired by Earthstone Energy and Northern Oil and Gas in August 2023 for $1.5 billion. Quote, we are excited to once again focus on the acquisition and development of high-quality upstream assets throughout the Delaware Basin, one of the most prolific oil and gas regions in North America, end quote, said Zimmerman in a statement. Quote, NGAP has been a trusted partner for more than a decade, and we are grateful for their continued support as we leverage our existing relationships and expertise to drive value through innovative exploration, drilling, and completion techniques, end quote. Quote, our tenured partnership with John Zimmerman and Novo has led to multiple successful exits across different basins, end quote, said Jason DeLorenzo, managing partner of NGAP Investments, in a statement. Quote, they have a proven track record of value creation, and we look forward to continuing our successful partnership with them, end quote. Community. Crime Stoppers seeks tips on animal cruelty. Gandalf the dog is a 4-year-old, 98-pound Great Pyrenees. His demeanor has been described as being a very sweet dog who has a hearty appetite, consuming between 5 cups of dog food per day. The nonprofit Midland Crime Stoppers recently published a story about Gandil, who was found abandoned. Eventually, Gandil found his way to the Midland Animal Shelter, where his story included a happy ending because of his adoption by a family. The director of the Midland Animal Shelter, Melissa Griffin Hobson, confirmed the Great Pyrenees stayed at the shelter. Quote, as soon as the veterinarian began clipping hair off of his paw, that's when the BB pellets started to fall out, end quote, she said during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. Quote, the veterinarian ended up giving him antibiotics since he, Gandil, had an open wound. As soon as he was available, he was adopted, end quote, Griffin Hobson said. While the case to pursue charges against those that harmed Gandil ultimately is decided by the Midland County Sheriff's Office, Griffin Hobson did say she agreed with the veterinarian assessment that someone harmed the dog intentionally. Quote, I'm just glad that he went to a good home, end quote, she said. But part of Gandil's story is his injury due to being shot by a pellet gun. Fast forward to today. Midland Crime Stoppers said that a Midland resident is concerned that someone in the area of South County Road 1213 and West County Road 185 is intentionally being cruel to animals. Midland Crime Stoppers is asking residents with information pertaining to this case to call Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or use www.694tips.com. Calls will remain anonymous, and if investigators receive information that leads them to file charges and an arrest is made, a cash reward can be earned. A private donation of $2,000, along with an additional stipend of $500, offered by Crime Stoppers is being offered for information that leads to animal cruelty charges filed and an arrest made for the person responsible. If residents have information about animal cruelty, they can make an anonymous tip through Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS. Use the mobile app P3TIPS or visit www.694tips.com so that the police can check on it and see if there is a crime happening. Midland Crime Stoppers also provides a reminder regarding reward eligibility. A tip must be submitted via the Crime Stoppers hotline, website, or mobile app, and law enforcement must act on it, leading to charges filed and an arrest made. No other avenues of reporting are eligible.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.